Hi, everybody, and welcome to Tim and Joel, College in the Ring. Welcome to another episode where we're going to talk about wrestling. I just put eight hours of WWE programming into my brain in rapid succession. I had a busy week, and I'm pretty zonked. That included Extreme Rules. Watched the pay-per-view last night.
Oh, you poor bastard.
Wasn't great.
Wasn't great at all. I'm at the point where I don't even want to talk about it. I mean,
I'm going to say there were two great matches. Triple Threat was all right. And both of the two great matches ended in the worst, like one of the worst ways, some of the worst ways you could even imagine. Just so bad. So bad.
I don't have much to say. So we did the watch along on Sunday on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. And it was fun. It was nice. I mean, listen, there were eight or nine of us just kind of palling around and chatting all night, which is great. What wasn't so great was having to react to some of those finishes because, woof. How do you finish your last two matches with a DQ? That was the women's match. That was Bianca.
At Extreme Rules.
Yeah, that was Bianca.
Extremely normal rules.
And Becky. And then how do you do the finish to that Finn match? I was on True Heel Heat. We did the round table. By the way, go follow them. They're excellent. They're a lot of fun. I did their round table for Extreme Rules, and I said I didn't hate the resurrection.
It had a cool vibe to it. What I hated about it was it seemed they were using, you know, they're using the audio from the start of his theme music, but then they just played his theme music. They didn't have a separate, that sucked. That was so weird. It's like, y'all know you can cut waves, like wave any audio. It's not hard. I do it every day.
It's funny because I'm listening to We Watch Wrestling podcast this morning. And I these are things I already know. I just don't like think about all the time. It's the fact that, you know, Vince McMahon is not a television writer. He's not a television producer. He's not a creative genius. He's a wonderful marketer. Always has been, always will be. Mm-hmm. That case in point, they announced the Royal Rumble is going to be in St. Louis at the Dome. That Dome holds upwards of 60,000 people. That's great. They're going to fill that Dome. You know why? Because they're going to make it a spectacle.
Yeah.
It's going to be the circus. It always is. SummerSlam, same thing. They had huge plans to bring in all these outside folks to do, you know, bring Cardi B.
Yeah, they kept trying to get all the celebs.
They wanted Megan Thee Stallion for MSG. They wanted all the stuff. They wanted to do all this crossover appeal because they have it. Wonderful marketer, not a storyteller.
No.
And it's as just a result, like, yeah. we sat through the show and just kind of were like, all right, so Extreme Rules happened. And that's it.
Yeah, some weird flubs. Poor Alexa getting just screwed over by the props team. Because we call this stuff out when AEW does it. This is some shitty props work from a company who has, you know, plenty of experience and budget to do better.
You're talking about the Alka-Seltzer tablets?
Yeah. Yeah. The foaming at the mouth that just did not happen at all.
Someone didn't put a bottle of water underneath her chair or underneath the announce booth when she went to get the tablet. Because that was the whole thing, is that she just needed water for a reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't wrestle a 15-minute match.
Exactly. You can't be doing that and have a wet enough mouth. Like, yeah, anyone who's done any cardio would know. And yeah, it was rough. Poor Alexa. Because she still did, like, the best she could with it. Like, she did a great job. It's just...
We kind of launched into this thing. Let's set this up real quick. By the way, we have a Discord. There's a link in the video description here. You can come and join us. We talk about all the shows live. We talk about all the sports and movies and food you make and all the stuff we do there. It's a great community. Come and join us. We're growing at a pretty cool pace. And I love all of you who are coming to join us. Really appreciate that. And by the way, you can toss a thumbs up here on this video. Leave us a comment. If you're in the chat, say hi. We're as good as we can be to reply to stuff. And subscribe to the channel. We got to hit that number. We got to get bigger. Tim, we're big humans. We're big personalities or something.
Yep, something. I was trying to channel exhausted Becky with the Orange Cassidy thumbs up there. One of the few good visuals from Extreme Rules.
Ah, yes. Orange Lassity.
Orange Lassity.
There you go. So Extreme Rules. I don't think there's really much more that we can toss on that.
No, because except honestly, Demon Detective Finn will be on the case, I'm sure, very soon.
Oh my God. By the way, did you see some of the comments that came out of that? Like, it was the size of his dong that that weighed him down and broke the post.
I mean, that's pretty good.
He had super heavy paint. He wasn't sweating it all off.
Kudos to whoever does his airbrushing, because it's significantly better than literally anybody else in wrestling.
Like, yes.
Way less face paint smeared all over the other person.
We are going to talk about the Joe Gacy, Joel Gacy
stuff.
Oh,
my God.
We are going to get there. Let's, what do you want to do? You want to talk about NXT first? Or you want to talk about the draft stuff?
Your call. Let's do draft.
Talk about the draft. So it's draft season. This Friday, first night of the draft, we're gonna do all the rigmaroles.
The least consequential draft in all of sport.
So yeah, that's a good point. Listen, there are ways that you can make this draft matter. There are ways that you can take this draft and make it mean something. But it's WWE again. We're not telling stories.
Throw in some releases while you're you gotta cut 10 people too. Just go for the hell of it. I don't care.
Raw SmackDown, for every 10 people that you draft, we're going to release 2.
Do it. I mean, you're already making a meal out of it on Twitter and stuff. We all are. Let's throw it right into the entertainment. Let's get some real nerves up on that TV screen.
So okay. We know that we have WWE Champion Big E. We have Universal Champion Roman Reigns. We have Tag Team Champions on both sides. We have Women's Champions of both sides. Basically, we have all the titles. What titles do you swap brands for, if any? Do you have any ones that you would like to see go elsewhere?
Super hate that is a part of it at all. I find it so dumb. Let's see. Tag titles are color coded. They could do the dumb swap again, but then they're not going to do that 2 years in a row.
Could you imagine? They had like Charlotte and Becky swap brands.
That's what I mean. Like, they're just
going to go.
They could do it with most of the titles, and it just cheapens the hell out of it. I really hope they just don't touch that this year. Keep every champion on their respective shows. Yeah, you could do the US and IC titles. That would be the easiest. And you know what? They probably will do that. Now that
I think that's most likely what's going to happen.
That's probably going to happen. Yeah.
I see, what was this, McIntyre going to SmackDown. So that's interesting after what happened on Raw. I think they were kind of using that as a hot shot. So essentially, McIntyre versus Big E might happen as early as next Monday, just to have that match and then say, by the way, Drew, you're off to SmackDown after he loses that match.
Yeah,
or they have the stakes even higher. They draft Drew to SmackDown. They still have the match, but Drew still loses to Big E at the end of the day because whoever, let's say Sheamus, goes ahead and beats the tar out of Big E. Someone else had put in Sheamus and the Hurt Business. There we go. Mod Mike saying Sheamus and Hurt Business to SmackDown, Balor and Street Profits to Raw. I want to see Sheamus stay on Raw. I do. That's what I want.
I'm fine. Yeah, no, I think he could do a good program with E. I think we've talked about that a few times, and we should definitely pursue that. McIntyre absolutely needs to go to SmackDown. That's like the biggest number one thing that I'm going to say for this is that it seems to be that's what's going to happen. I think that they might even just be doing this as like a red herring kind of misdirection where he wants it to happen. They just pull it away. Maybe we do it at Survivor Series or something. Maybe he's the one who takes it from Roman. But
I like Dan's idea that there should be a fine if someone shows up on another brand without GM's permission. Get rid of the wild card. Get rid of all that stuff. I do like also that he says it's a $200 fine.
Yeah, that's such a low fine.
Just toss it in the ring and they're just like, here you go, here I am.
It's like it's that rule, like if the penalty for the crime is a fine, that crime only that law is only for the poor.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got the New Day, you've got the Bloodline as well, you've now got the reinvested and reformed Hurt Business.
Because on Raw, all of a sudden,
saw them suddenly show up. Which, by the way, there was a little bit of storytelling going on in the background.
Okay.
There was a shot on it's MVP, but it's always MVP, which is you've got to follow
smart.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So MVP, there's a shot of him on a plane sitting with Shelton Benjamin. This is from weeks ago on Instagram, and I just happened to see it. And I was like, oh, that's great. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to go from this. And next thing you know, first of all, MVP is out, but they bring in Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander to get involved with what happened on Raw, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So now you have these three factions, and you can't split them up in the draft, but you, can you draft all of them individually or separately as a group? What do you do?
Like, I don't know. They've done both, so I don't know what the fucking rules are.
Because, yeah, remember when they split up the New Day, they had a tag team and then they had Big E be on his own. Can you do, you can't do that again. Could you imagine they do a match with Big E and the New Day and they do the same split gimmick again?
They might split up something like RK-Bro just to be annoying about it.
I don't know if they'll do that. They know where their bread is.
It's too over. Yeah, exactly. The money line on that. But I don't know. They've done insane decisions that impacted what I assume impacted their bottom line before, but
yeah, I think there's something to be said about the idea of the Street Profits being split up in the draft. I don't want it. I don't need it.
I hope that doesn't happen because I feel like Angelo Dawkins would be screwed.
Yeah. Oh, so
it's all for like
Drew pointing out the an explanation as to why Shelton and Cedric are buddies again. Going back to MVP, as everyone's kind of going off on Twitter about like, why are they back together? This doesn't make any sense. MVP was sitting there like, you don't have brothers. So now he's trying to play it off as if, you know, brothers fight, but then they're always brothers. They always get back together. And okay, if that's the way that he wants to do it because he wants to make sense of it, I'll let that slide.
I don't think it takes much to make sense of this. Look at what Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin have been up to since. That decision didn't really work out for them. Didn't really work out for Lashley. He's no longer the champion, you know? So like, It's a mutually beneficial relationship. They should absolutely just stick together. Cedric Alexander, like, it was so good. Everyone was frustrated when they broke them out. I really don't care how they get them back together. It was just a mistake. Undo it. Yeah. And they've undone it.
And so I like the idea of moving Bobby Lashley over to SmackDown along with Roman and the Bloodline and do Hurt Business and the Bloodline. Yeah,
do it. I think and there's something in that. It weirds me out so much that, like, when WWE managers get injured, they're not allowed on TV and shit. Like, they just couldn't bump them. Like, he's not incapacitated. Dude's not in a coma. Like, what was it? Broken rib or something?
Yeah, broken rib. Broken
rib. Why can't he be on TV? I never understood. Like, they keep doing that, too. Baffles me.
So, a bunch of people are asking in the chat about NXT and NXT's involvement. So, let's go into NXT. Let's talk about last night's show. Let's talk about some of the faces that might be moving up. And I think right off the bat, everyone's asking about Hit Row, or sorry, if you're that one guy in the crowd. Hit Row!
Oh my God.
If you are someone who's in that crowd, you have full permission to knock that guy senseless.
That whole crowd sucks ass.
Like, a lot of knees.
Like, where are the ladies at? Six ladies shout. You're here. They're chanting like, this is awesome, and like just all that crap. And it's like, so no.
Some of those chants are being fed to them by the Joey Pardo. Whoopsie.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Awful experience.
Is it you, Chris? Are you the one who's doing that chant?
Knock it off.
Stop it. It's the worst, and it's happening every week to the point where like people in like wrestling media are tweeting about it, and I'm laughing because I'm like, if it upsets you, imagine how everyone else feels. Yeah. So B-Fab takes on Electra Lopez in a match that I can only say thank God it had a lot of toys.
Yeah, it was good they had that to do with. I'm so sick of kendo sticks. I miss Steve Blackman.
But you must have loved the kendo sticks from Extreme Rules, the Eddie Van Halen kendo stick. The giant four kendo sticks wrapped up in the Eddie Van Halen tape. You must.
The only thing that immediately came to mind was that big dumb hammer. So I don't. And then they used the red light. So I was like, whatever. Let it slide.
So they do the match. The match is fine. Like I said, it's glad they had toys. There's a cool crossbody spot onto the chair, which I liked. Yep. Yep. That was cool. And then Top Dollar like slapping trash can lids or chairs out of
it. Was a trash can. It was just a whole ass trash can.
Jesus. I wrote down chair for some reason. But anyway,
It was pretty beastly.
Yeah, good moments. I liked stuff like that. And then Electra Lopez gets the win because of course she should.
Yeah. Got it.
And I'm looking at the match and I'm like, oh, okay. So B-Fab loses in true WWE fashion. Normally, those people who lose go up in the draft or they move around. They move around in the draft. What do you think? Hit Row going up to Raw? By the way, their promo before the match started was absolutely a tryout for them to do Raw.
It was definitely the open. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're so good and it's such a good gimmick. I think it would be fine on the main roster. I don't think they're fully ready yet, but there's been some rumblings about this being kind of an NXT heavy draft. I would expect that to be largely to remove the older people. Like get them up onto the main, but
do you think it's a fire sale and they just take NXT 1.0? Everyone goes from 1.0 up in the draft. They're like, you get like five people and they move them all together.
I don't know if they're going to bundle them like that, but you know, I think the draft might just be NXT heavy. I don't know that the Hit Row is going to be there yet. I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility, but I think they're closer to the 2.0 than they are the 1.0 of things, because they kind of came in late. So
a good mention from our pal Elliot saying the match is won with a blue thunderbomb and Sami Zayn rejoices. Yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah. Words are hard today. So Swerve is the North American champion. He can easily just drop that title. They've done it a billion times before. I wouldn't be surprised if they
just draft start October. Draft is
this Friday.
It is this Friday. Yeah, it's
Friday, Monday. But they can also have him go down, do one night of NXT, drop that title, or do something that leads to a tournament, and you know, so someone wins. Von Wagner wins the North American Championship. Who knows?
No. That would be who wins it too.
So true. Because ain't gonna be Bron Breakker. He's got
he's gonna take the title.
Did you know that if you wanted a friend, you should get a dog?
That was a good line. He also said shit, and it was funny. And then Seth tweeted out, oh, we can say shit now, hashtag shit.
So shout out to Chucky T, because Chuck Taylor has been wanting to say shit on TNT. He was the trendsetter. And now I'm like, Chucky, you got to start a campaign to say the F word on TNT. Because in like 6 months, that'll come through. It won't be you saying it. It'll be literally everyone else.
At this point, all of those rules should just go out the window. What? Look at our world. What does this matter?
We're all going down. It's fine. Dan's asking if Kyle O'Reilly moves up. What brand does he go to? I don't necessarily see him moving so quick.
If he goes up, I don't see him having anything to do, sadly. I just don't think they're going to use him very well if he goes to either Raw or SmackDown right now.
Have him join the Diamond Mine, like reluctantly.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I don't want to see him back with Roddy, but I don't know what else he can do with him. He's going to be a tag team with Von Wagner. They're going to beat MSK for the tag titles.
Ugh, I don't want that. I don't want that
Nobody all. Does, but here we are. All right, let's talk about it. Joe Gacy. Not canceled, first of all. I don't know about
that him. Even.
He's a parody.
It's a shame that your doppelganger is a jackass.
I don't hate it, though.
I do hate it. It's stupid. It's because it's dumb. It's lazy. There's nothing interesting. He talked about, I didn't throw a single punch. Dude had a match. Like, what the hell? Like, they can't even keep internal consistency on this gibberish. Like,
so
it's also vibes from fucking games. Florida, and they're doing this shit, and it drives me nuts. Like, I find it so cringy because I don't, like, WWE, there's been the rumblings about NXT having that edgier content. You know, you've seen those rumors.
And we saw last night, by the way.
Did we? Was any of that edgy? Like, they said shit.
They do the shit. They yell bullshit. Then they have the index storyline is basically
how
they haven't
sex. So edgy is crass. And the only other counterculture that I'm thinking really at this point that is really going to rile people up, if they're going this direction, is just like right-wing shit. So
you got me for Call It in the Rain. That's right. Joel Gacy. Let me tell you what I don't hate about it. It's very, it's so well done that it's almost honest in a parody way.
I don't know. It's not, it's because it's not like,
hold on.
It's not like Brian with the environmental thing.
I know. Worse. But Joe Gacy also has a side of him that people don't know about, where he is a psychotic killer hardcore wrestler. He's not going to be a deathmatch wrestler in NXT, but he can easily take the elements of his like crazy Joker psychopath.
Ugh.
And that's what's going to happen. He's going to be so nice that he turns, and that's going to be it. Marital sex is edgy. That's right.
That's the thing. Like, it's just, I don't know. All those people in the back, I don't think this is a parody. I think this is how they see the world.
There's a certain element of reality to that. I also think that people take wrestling sometimes a little too seriously.
Yeah.
Nothing about you especially, not just you and I, but you especially are just like, hey, shut up, dorks, it's wrestling. And I agree with 99% of the time.
This character is dumb. Like, there's no, I don't see them being able to do anything good with it. And like, it's just going to be commentary awkwardly dancing around how to manage that. Because you heard them last, they don't know how, they're like, I don't necessarily agree or disagree. Like, they're all taking this middle position on this happening.
But that's what it is. That's what that mentality is. You can't say anything to, you can get canceled like that for saying something that you didn't mean to say. Or something, not that you didn't mean to say, but something that came out not the way that the herd was going with.
Yeah,
if you're contrarian, you can be taken down a peg because you don't agree with them. Now I'm doing it because this can be taken out of context very easily. That's the character.
Everyone's
stepping on their words, and Joe Gacy is the guy who's being so over the top PC that he's not stepping on his words. He's getting heat for it.
You know what? Okay. Yeah, there's some level of balance here, I guess. One of the frustrations is that so many of the WWE's like heroes are bootstrapper nonsense. Like, they're constantly parroting this like work hard and achieve your dreams gibberish, which is like, and there's something to be said for it, but it's also like, okay, like everyone here is a hard worker and like, you know, they all made millions of dollars even though they can't have a union, etc. So it's like, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating to hear some of it. And then they do these dumb jokes with Corbin, who is just like a poor person. And like, yeah, he's an asshole. Like, you know, the problem is there's like, they don't, but then you have something like the New Day, which is completely positive and very good. And like, it's hard to, so I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to be, yeah, I'll walk it back a little bit for now. I just don't know where it's going, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere that's going to be good. Like, they did Right to Censor. That stuff was funnier because it aligns with my politics, but this is a bit.
We'll see. Are you telling me you're going to let it play out?
I don't know. I didn't have a high opinion of him before because he was like nothing. So I appreciate him trying to do something bold.
Fair. Listen, he doesn't wrestle this week. He introduced Zion Quinn and Oney Larkin for their match. I don't know why.
That was weird. That transition was awful. I had to go back. I rewound it and was like, wait, is he not wrestling? But there was no like there was no commercial break. There was no like, it was a crossfade into Zion Quinn coming out. And it was the weirdest thing because I thought he was going to fight Zion Quinn, but then it was Oney Larkin.
Yes. I also kind of thought that was where we were going. It might just turn into like Joe Gacy fights Zion Quinn next. But he didn't get involved in the match. He just had the promo.
It seemed to be completely unrelated.
Like, yeah, they're trying to move at a breakneck speed that, again, we talked about last week. It's similar to the AEW way of going.
Yeah, just, but this you was...
Keep going.
That was a strange transition. Anyway, whatever. Zion Quinn has a necklace, listens to metal, beats Oney Larkin.
Lipo, let it play out. and then Rob Wilkins, by the way, says that he wants AJ and Omos on SmackDown, which I wouldn't be against that. I would like to see them do something completely different with, we'll talk about it with Raw. Like, AJ and Riddle had a match that was great, but was also like the 27th time.
Yeah.
The honeymoon. Hey, they're having sex. Good on them.
Yeah, this is funny.
This is the first time I did like that. This is the first time they've actually like acknowledged Candice LeRae's pregnancy.
Yeah.
And they did it in a really cute way. I like that they funny. Were.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah. I liked it. It was a good. Those segments are always hitting. They're always fun.
Yeah. I mean, part of that is due to just Dexter Loomis's skilled like delivery. Like, his sight gags are on point. Like, his face and how smooth. And, you know, I'm sure they did a bunch of takes, but how smooth they got him pulling that strip of condoms out is so great.
That whole act has become a meme machine, and I think they all know it, and they all love that fact.
And you know what? This is what I mean. Like, you know, you could treat this guy like the boogeyman, or you could use him as a punchline here. And I think he's great for comedic relief. He's decent in ring, but he's never going to be WWE champion kind of guy. But
they had a pillow fight, Tim.
Yeah, it was funny.
And then they had sex. Yeah, it was fun. I'm a fan of it. I do like Johnny running around and being like, going to the security girl and being like, I locked out of my room. It's 512. And the security guard being like, okay.
Yeah, okay. He just like, the security here like, sucks. He's awful. Like, yeah, you're not wrong. It's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. Johnny saying, you don't need this many. Depends what you're doing, Johnny. That's all. I don't have much to say about the Toxic Attraction and EO and Zoe Stark match.
It was
good. Missed most of it because my feed died.
Yeah, it's good.
But it was a good match, and I was shocked that EO and Stark retained. Because again, I thought maybe in the draft they would go moving.
Yeah, like EO for sure. So this is a bit of a surprise.
I guess they listen. I guess EO wants to stick around. Maybe she'll show up in another, you know, on her own solo call up. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but that was that match. There's really not much else to say because NXT has been working on building characters more than matches. The matches have been fine. Again, you and I don't talk a lot about matches unless something ridiculous happens. We talk about the characters. For example, Andre Chase, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Alexander Hamilton.
So real Nowitzki vibes, obviously.
Did you like that? He's now a professor and he's wearing a sweater.
I like that he wrestles in the sweater. I find that hilarious as hell. The character has no legs. I don't think that will be a character that will help serve him for a large part of his career. Like, this is he will be rebranded within a year or fired.
I hope not. I think he's actually making
I hope not too, because I think he's around. Fine. But this is like a, this is an entry level character. I'll tell you that much.
Like, very excited for when he ditches this character and comes out looking like Lin-Manuel Miranda playing Alexander Hamilton. He's going to be cosplaying Alexander Hamilton. Or Pee Wee Herman, because Lash Legend, by the way, who caused a stir, we'll get to that in a second, called him a Pee Wee Herman lookalike. Andre Chase, the Pee Wee Herman lookalike. I'm all for it.
Oh, yes. I was reading tweets while this show was happening, but I wasn't watching the show live. And I expected both Raw and NXT to be off the walls terrible. And they were both pretty good. And I don't know what the hell people were on about. Like,
I think we'll get to with the Raw thing what's good and bad about it.
Yeah,
and like I'm seeing in the chat, like people are being really active in the chat today. Like Dan saying, like, can we talk about Bill Buchanan's son? First of all, here's something that I do not like about NXT, and I point this out every time. Whenever they're trying to get their number one contenders down, they have to reintroduce five different people or five different teams, which is exactly what they did last night. MSK comes out, they're booed to high heaven,
this crowd sucks.
And then who comes out next? It's grizzled young veterans. And then who comes out after them? It's Bull Buchanan and what's his face, Josh Briggs.
Oh, Beer Money. Yeah,
Beer. yes, or who were the other ones from Raw?
This gimmick's been recycled so many times.
The Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch 2.0.
Yeah.
Who was the last team that came out? Was, oh my God, there was a fourth team and I'm forgetting.
It was Carmelo Hayes and
and
his hype man, Trick.
Yeah, so Trick and Mello come out. And again, like the segment's okay. It's not great, but fine. This is, again, it's going to lead to a four-way or triple threat. However many people are not the tag champs, they're going to be in a match for number one contendership. And the winners of that are going to face MSK. And then the people who took the pinfall in that match are going to then face the tag champs like 3 weeks later. That's just what they do.
Yeah, it's repetitive.
Oh my God, I love this. Drew McIntyre teaches history at Andre Chase University.
Sure, do that. Bring it in. Make it a whole.
I want to make
a whole shtick. Then you know what? That's maybe how you give this gimmick another year.
Andre Chase becomes a cast Drew's of manager. Yes,
I'd be fine with that. That'd be funny. Drew McIntyre heel turn.
Yes, and he's just the dorkiest thing. Besides Zach Gibson, the entire segment was corny.
Yeah.
Zach Gibson, who loves tabletop games. And then we got Tony D'Angelo, who's got his cousins who up on the east side.
I was so curious because I was like, wait, what does Chicago's port system look like? Because this doesn't really sound familiar. It's not that. Like, most of it's, as far as I can tell, the entire harbor, like the entire shipping port system is owned by the city. But maybe I'm wrong.
Regardless, it's owned by the mob, according to Tony D'Angelo.
This guy's an NCAA wrestler.
No, he's not. He's made it through the cycle.
Also, Tony D'Angelo is a hockey player, so thank you for that shit SEO. Like,
oh, there is a lot of people who figured that out because he is a racist hockey player. He is not in, is not good. The stories that have come out about Tony D'Angelo.
Tremendous work, marketing team, for vetting this name.
They were just like, who cares? It's just a hockey guy. No one pays
attention. It's true. I only had to add NXT to find the information I was looking for.
And they're really, they assume he's going to take over because NHL players are not, you know, they're not searched in the US. Like the NHL is bottom tier when it comes to sports in the US. And so there you go. Like Drew's interested in his debut next week. So am I, because you know what? I'm watching all these people just talk him up online because we're all doing it like kind of silly. But it's the funniest thing.
I expect him to wrestle in dress shoes, a pair of slacks, and an A-shirt. Like, that's...
And he comes out to the theme in The Sopranos.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or like, the full-blooded Italian theme.
Just WWE. Something about spaghetti. Just a big tenor singing about spaghetti. There you go.
His mom. They bring out this Italian woman who's going to be his mom.
And she's momager. Like, hey, momager. Give him a momager!
Mama D'Angelo. Hey, you gotta eat them before you match. You got some carbs.
Pound all this pasta before you wrestle.
If you're an Italian and you're watching or listening, I'm not trying to offend you. But if I am, I blame Tony D'Angelo.
Access power, I don't care.
Lash Legend. I'm very quickly gonna say this because Tim, I'm a white guy. I'm very clearly a white guy if you're watching us on youtube.com/TimandJoelPod. And so is Tim. I loved this. Okay. I saw a lot of weirdo, angry, middle-aged white dudes being like, this is shitty. I don't want it on my TV ever again. Buddy, let me tell you that 99% of this show is not supposed to be catered towards you.
Yeah.
And maybe
that's the thing. I was like, whatever. It's not something I'm passionate about. I don't have any strong feelings towards it one way or the other. It was just like... Through the segment, I was like, oh, you're a WNBA player, but this, you're Lash Legend now. Okay, whatever. I guess it's not the direction I would go with a WNBA, former WNBA player, but.
But we're not the ones in that culture. And no, she completely
spoofed. And that's the thing. It's just not my scene. So
she spoofed Wendy Williams. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the amount of people who were super into that I saw the takes on Twitter and other socials, like, they loved it. And I did, too. I thought it was hilarious. Like, she shouts out Ikemen Jiro as being more handsome than Trey Baxter and Cora Jade. I love that silly shit.
Yeah, it's fine. I feel bad for Trey Baxter. It's a shitty gimmick.
Well, he's going to be a superhero soon enough.
Oh, gross. Yeah, I forgot about that. No more Cora Jade's superhero.
It's unique. It's different. Exactly.
She should break up with his ass the second she sees him in a superhero outfit, and that'll be hilarious, and then make him a heel.
Oh my God. Everyone has to become a heel after this.
Yeah.
Except for Tony D'Angelo. Tony has to become the face.
He's obviously a face. I don't know. There's only so far you can go with a mafia gimmick that doesn't end in bloodshed.
I don't want to talk about Mr. Forward Roll until he shows up.
It's because he's not ready. Forward Roll. He's cooking.
Well, let him cook forever, and maybe
he's unbaked dough.
Yeah, well, that dough is never gonna rise. So the rest of the matches are fine. They're whatever. You know, Roddy and Diamond Mine need to find their groove in 2.0. I like.
Yeah, Roddy pulls out, great match. What's the guy's name? Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller. He's a daredevil, I guess. But
he's Australian. Hey. Mark Wahlberg. By the way, his real name is Matty Wahlberg. I'm not kidding.
Grayson Waller is a better choice in this one. At least they didn't do the Shane Thorne business, right? I'm fine with it.
By the way, so if you haven't seen this, so Shane Thorne came out in a dark match on SmackDown. I'm speaking to the audience because I know you've seen this. He comes out as like this stereotypical Australian Crocodile Dundee. And people are just like, Thorne, what the hell is this? And he's like, it was my idea.
Of course it was. It's your idea after you've pitched 50 other ideas and you've given up on everything, and Vince goes with the shittiest one that you could think of.
He pulled the Nikki Ash, and I'm so proud. He's just like, yeah, it's my idea. What of it? And people are just like, cool, cool, cool. We support you. And so far, the people are now asking about what theme should he have if, like, copyright was not an issue. And the first thing he says,
obviously, is, Men at Work.
He says, "Men down under, or lay down under."
I mean, he watched the UFC pay per view. He knows.
Oh, that got over. That's right.
Yeah, Volk doing the same thing, and it's like, okay,
it's so basic. Funny. Silly shit like that makes me love wrestling, let me tell you.
It is funny.
Yeah, there you go. This is Cora Jade as a skater. So what does Trey do at the skate park?
Hold her water bottle and jacket.
Or what if he's actually the rollerblader?
Oh,
there's always one. There's always one at the
Scooter guy. He's on the Razor scooter.
Good on him. Bringing me back to my seventh and eighth grade self. Frankie Monet, Raquel Gonzalez.
See, I had the skateboard, you had the Razor scooter. We already see the dynamic.
That was not cool, okay? I still am not. The match between Monet and Gonzalez was solid. It wasn't great, but I love that they worked snug. They were going
They laid in.
That stair spot where Monet yanks Raquel off the stairs and she hits her back on the back. Oh, so good.
And that's the thing. It set her up for the you know, the story of the match, right? Where Raquel's working through the lower back pain. So,
and also, you know, shout out to Raquel Gonzalez, who like has her gear break, one of the straps on her top breaks. And you know what she does? Instead of like trying to cover up or whatever, she's actually working closer to Frankie Monet.
Yeah, she doesn't get caught.
Like, and she managed it super well.
Yeah, and then knowing that she had to do the beatdown spot after too, and it's like she had that belt there for the first little while. And I was like, okay, good move.
Yeah, there's some good awareness there.
Yeah.
I thought Frankie was going to walk out with the title.
Yeah, me too. But
now Frankie can go up to the main roster.
Yeah, and I think
she's ready.
I think that's the thing. Like she's a veteran. She might not be a veteran on NXT, but she's ready to go up. Like
it feels to me, she was brought in kind of for finishing class, learning the WWE camera style versus like Impact where she was before. This is an opportunity for her to restart and get better and do her thing. Yeah. Oh no, that's not what we meant.
No, it's what we meant. It's great. That's absolutely what we
meant. I didn't say it. Okay. Talk about Raw a little bit.
A little bit of Raw. I did watch it. So
I don't know how much longer we can keep this up where they bookend the matches.
Yeah.
Because this is becoming a trend.
It's such ratings games, transparent ratings gamesmanship that is just like, ugh.
But it worked. It worked until it kind of didn't work this week. If you look at ratings, they kind of dropped. I think it was something like 2 or 5%. Not huge. Not a big drop.
No, because like, I don't think any of that really. The people are going to watch. You're going to watch. I don't know. and I don't. They keep trying to do celebrity tie-ins in the saddest way. Like Malcolm Bivens's tweet on NXT, where he's like, "I love this and Missy Elliott," and Missy Elliott was like heart, and they put that
I feel
on TV.
The love.
Like that's interesting at all. Like.
I don't know why they had to bring that up.
Because again, they're desperate. They're just doing weird, desperate grabs at PR.
Bivens like, brings that
make
stuff up
good
all the time.
Content. Yeah.
It's very strange.
Just make good content.
So yeah, so we talk about it. Opening match, Big E, Lashley. Her business is back. New Day, stop them. And then Adam Pearce comes out and he's angry. He's all like, well, not this way, in a steel cage. And we're just like, wait, there's a cage here? I had to go back. Like, no one had talked about the cage. So they hit it. Apparently it was under black tarp and like, way high up in the arena.
Excellent. I mean, I thought that whole opening spot was excellent. Like, you know, I was into the match and then the interruptions were great. One, because it just, woo, hurt business. Two, because the New Day, and I'll talk about it more with the cage match. Like, God, they're so good.
The cage match.
Yeah. That cage match was also excellent. First question, why does the escape rule apply? Did I miss something?
How do you mean? It's always been there.
No.
Yeah, for the last many pinfall. Submission, escape the cage.
What are you talking about? For the last long while, they've limited it to pinfall and submission.
No, it's only if it's Hell in a Cell. You don't escape Hell in a Cell.
No, the cage, anyway, whatever.
All right, whatever. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention. I tend not to.
They took it away for a long time, and it was just randomly back. But that's cool. It's cool. That match was so good, and the interruptions were so good. Like, Xavier Woods this year whole new respect for him. Like, he's just been killing it every chance he's gotten. And like, when they were just fighting on the outside, it looked so smooth. Kofi running in and leaping onto the cage looked really smooth. And then the backdrop, you know, dropping off of it onto the two of them after, like, the whole thing was just really, really, really well done.
Yeah, everything that was going on outside of the match was really good. Everything that was happening in even the beginning of the match, where they did everything outside, where Bobby breaks off of Big E, that was great.
Yeah.
They go into the cage, they do the thing. Even that big ending finish from the second rope.
Because he was trying excellent. To get that. That was also a well-told story through the match. Yes. He kept trying to hit that middle rope big ending, and he just couldn't do it. And, like, I think that was really well done. You want to keep two guys strong, just let them do strong shit. Like, this match was really, really good. I don't think Bobby Lashley really suffered anything eating another pin here.
So the only reason that I don't like that statement is because he ate the pin the night before at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, exactly. That's the issue, right? Doing that pointless six-man didn't help anything.
They got to find a way to build him up because, let's face it, we're going to have a match, Bobby Lashley and Goldberg, in Saudi Arabia in a month. If Bobby, this is why I'm saying, if you move Bobby over to SmackDown, he can take out the Dirty Dogs. He can take out all the low-hanging fruit, basically, on his way to face Goldberg and lose. Let's face it. Goldberg is
going
to win.
Oh, yeah. He's going to lose. And that's fine. It. Like, you know what? This is how you use Goldberg. Like, keep him away from the title and let him just steamroll some guy who's big, like, once a year.
What do you think of that big canvas photo that Goldberg has of him holding his kid in the palm of his
hand? I thought it was very Goldberg.
Very Goldberg.
What was the right decision was doing it this way and giving the man a teleprompter, because he was great. It was great.
Oh, little my segment. God. You could tell it, too.
That give him a teleprompter. Yeah, but it was better. It's better than any other Goldberg promo has ever been.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't have him call in via FaceTime and tell everyone, hey, guys, we're super up with technology. Here is Goldberg on FaceTime, live via FaceTime.
Gorg. Saw that lady, post again on gorge. Twitter today. Just people. There was like a Sasha Banks one that just said "eat balls" and like some other one with all those. Just the poorly placed shots.
It used to be with like Charlotte when she moved over to SmackDown. The old screens were like flat on the front and then twin to the side, and it would just say "harlot" on the front. Stuff like that always makes me, or like big ass for big Cass.
I love the escape. To be clear, I am very pleased that the escape stipulation was there. I also prefer that it is part of it.
It's been escape for 35 years, Tim.
It has not. They didn't use it for like every other cage match that I've watched in recent memory.
Admittedly, sometimes they do just ignore the escape the cage part. Sometimes
they just leave it out and they'll announce it, pinfall or submission, and it's like, okay.
Either way, can they keep bookending Raw like this? Can they keep getting away with this
No. I mean, they'll see it doesn't work all the time.
I like a three-thread.
Like, I don't mind. What I didn't like is seeing the recap package four times.
Right.
Ooh, like, stop filling time with that. And, you know, this was a big complaint for Extreme Rules, too. Like, they had filled so much time that, like, every pre-roll was, like, 5 minutes. And it was just ridiculous. Like, I like those recaps. It's just 5 minutes is a bit ridiculous. Like,
yeah, it gets us to a point where you don't need to watch Raw. You can just get by in the recaps.
Well, and again, Again, that's how I would be watching all of this if I wasn't doing this show.
But I know some people who talk about Raw and don't watch Raw. They get by on the recaps.
Yeah.
Like, these are people in the wrestling sphere that, like, they get away with it. Reggie Ricochet, I wanted this match to be longer.
Yeah, and I think they know that it's good, so they were just teasing it. Like, yes. But I don't know.
I do like the 24/7 division is now defined. It's Tozawa, it's Drake, it's R-Truth, and Drew Gulak. Along with Reggie and Ricochet. Ricochet can come out whenever. Yeah. But this was great. The part where they all jumped the barricade because they realized that just because there's a 24/7 match and that stops the rules, you can just DQ the match and the 24/7 rule starts again. Why didn't they do this before? Why didn't Tozawa and Drake and all, why didn't they run out during the official matches before, DQ, finish the match, whatever, and then just take advantage?
I hate this title.
I do too. I'm trying to make the most of it. Reggie has made the most
What the most of this is that Ricochet and Reggie should wrestle, and it should be get a proper, you know, put it on a pay-per-view. Figure it out. Get rid of all the other ones. Like, keep them off. Tozawa coming out demanding a match. That was the end of that. And again, like, a very long time that poor bastard must have been in the ring while
that
he's
was
waiting.
Strange. Yeah. So they finally introduce him to the at-home audience. We have Keith Bearcat Lee. Now, I like the name. I don't care. I like the character change, and I'll tell you why. The most egregious thing that they've done is putting Bearcat in the middle of his name and not calling him Bearcat Keith Lee.
Keith Lee, yeah.
Calling him Bearcat Lee. Like, what are we... The grammatical
it is
structure
odd. Is
Keith the odd part.
Bearcat. Like, well, you know, I don't know. That's how they announce, like, fighters, I guess, like boxers and MMA guys.
Bringing him out in Cincinnati, that's a good touch because of the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Oh, okay.
That is a team that exists, FYI.
What league is that?
It's probably American.
You don't even know.
American. Is it college football or some shit? I don't know. Is it not a real team? Who knows? Someone's going to tell me. I just remember the Cincinnati Bearcats. And then everyone else is like, it's the Cincinnati Bearcats. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Go Sens, go. The Raw Talk promo from Bearcat Lee, though, that's where it makes a difference.
Yeah,
and this is the thing. It's college. There you go. It's college football. Bearcat Keith Lee comes out, or doesn't come out. He's interviewed in the back, and he's asked a bunch of questions, and he's super serious, and he's super pissed, and you have to go and watch it. The problem is people don't watch Raw Talk.
No.
And I had to find it myself just to understand what it was. But it was a really good promo, and it's going to set the tone for what this Bearcat character is. He's just going to be not brooding, but he's going to be a serious guy who just kicks a lot of ass.
Yeah, I heard commentary say he's got a mean streak. And I was okay, we're doing a change. Got it. That's fine. I'm fine with that. As long as he looked good. He crushed Tozawa, smushed him good. Tozawa's shoulder was not flat. I saw the ref check it and then count. And I was like, whatever. It's wrestling.
It's always wrestling.
He was, I think he just had the fucking wind knocked out of him. Like, I think Keith Lee smushed him so good. Like,
poor Tozawa. I don't have much to say about Damian Priest and Sheamus. It was an excellent match.
It's another great match. Like, they keep...
Yeah, it was hilarious that they do this the night after a show that's all about Extreme Rules, no DQ, and the fact that they did a triple threat, which is also no DQ, so they could
have
done
stuff.
The only
other one that wasn't actually no DQ. Anyway.
Yeah, they could have done stuff in that match, but no, instead they re-ran the match. Again, excellent match, hard-hitting. They have
so many
great
tables.
Chemistry. Move along. We're done here. And by the way, King Jinder is coming.
Yeah, that was like, yeah. I was like, what is the purpose of this? But then I was like, oh, no, it's probably that.
Did you see Jeff Hardy's awkward promo backstage?
Again, that's every Jeff Hardy promo. I keep saying this. It's not surprising. At least this one was weird and funny weird, not just weird.
Oh, dear. It was just weird. He just says one thing, turns around. He's like, okay, now the match. It's like,
he's basically Riddle, but I think that's just him in real life. Like,
oh, it is absolutely him. Finally, Charlotte versus Doudrop. Now, we kind of touched on the Alexa Bliss thing. What we didn't touch on is the fact that Alexa Bliss is potentially taking some time off. This was a wrestling thing, so I'm going to give it some time before I actually... give any merit to it. Good on Doudrop, by the way, for following proper open challenge protocol. Went into Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville's office and says, hey, I want that title shot. And Sonya Deville is just like, yeah, sure, you're better than Naomi. I'm like, that's the bar?
It was pretty rude, too. Just so mean.
It was very rude. So now they got to carry that over. What if they end... I mean, listen. Doesn't matter where Naomi goes. She's going to be on every show that Sonya Deville's on. I like that they're continuing the story. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Doudrop's character is clearly positive Zoomer. But...
Can you do the dance if you win? Do the dance. I love that she's leaning into this.
It's fine. It's good. Like, it distinguishes herself. It's something that's manageable. Like...
It's fine. It's kid stuff. Let's do that. Bad on Eva Marie for continuing her beef with Doudrop.
She is. So I keep in mind, like I mentioned before, I had no idea who Eva Marie was from the first run. She's just weird.
Neither did we.
She's so weird. Well, that's the thing. She's like a personality void. Like it's the strangest delivery.
Shayna Baszler comes out, piece of crap out of her.
Yeah, because Shayna Baszler's out here handing out vacations. That's what she's doing right now.
Yeah. I didn't mind them spoiling the open challenge because they did it so deep into the show. And honestly, I think people love to get really excited for something that's not going to happen. Like Mia Yim's going to debut or Dakota Kai's going to debut. I remind you again. If they haven't introduced these people, they're not going to do the Paige and AJ thing they did like years and years ago. They're not going to have them come in and on their first night win the title. It's not happening. Not like that. So for Doudrop to be an established character who gets the title shot, it introduces her to a higher echelon of the card because we're going to see Queen Doudrop next.
Yeah. And that's, you know, she's being, oh man, probably
fine with it. Charlotte versus Shayna must be coming up because they're going to run that soon. I'm fine with it. Love it.
Like I think Shayna is just going to keep handing out vacations. People who need to take some time off, they're going to throw her right in there.
They'll call her the vacation giver.
Yeah.
They call her PTO Shayna.
Oh my God. Queen of Siesta.
Queen of Siesta. Let's do it. Let's go. What's next for Charlotte, though? Because it won't get to Shayna for a bit. They got to do something for now.
Yeah, there's a few options here. I think you bring back Asuka and do rehash that old chestnut again, which is boring to me, but I can see them doing it as like a holding pattern for a month. As to maybe post-draft, we do see someone like Dakota Kai come up. We see Mia Yim introduced properly, maybe finally, because I think they're, you know, I know everyone's like, save for the draft, but they might actually be doing something to introduce some new characters here.
Bearcat Keith Lee, by the way, was wearing a Mia Yim shirt for that promo.
Oh.
Something worth mentioning. Mm. Obviously, they're together in real life, but you don't normally toss on your partner's shirt if they, you know, showing up soon.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
I think that they're going to introduce some new women into the fold here. And I think that's who's going to end up feuding with Charlotte.
I don't think it's going to be someone that we haven't seen yet for Charlotte. I think they're going to kind of cycle people around again. Maybe someone moves over from SmackDown like Liv. I was also going to suggest
Liv because she picked up that victory on the pre-show again for no good reason. They put an announced match on the pre-show and then announced a pointless six-man as a pay-per-view match. Baffling to me.
But I think it's they wanted to put the WWE champion on the main card.
Yeah, I know, but like put them both on. There was enough time for both of that on that show.
There's a reason to put Liv and Charlotte together. I don't see this as now. Remember when Liv was on SmackDown and Charlotte kept beating her until Liv had to take a break and say, I need to do better or I will come back better. And then, of course, she didn't come back for like a year and a half because they kept bungling the return. The point was, this is the opportunity for them to tell a story where Liv is actually here to take on Charlotte and show that she's better than she was before.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised. Quick Asuka program, maybe move to a Liv program after. Like, well,
yeah, I see Supersonic is talking about Asuka out due to injury, rumored to get drafted to SmackDown. The reality is
she injured?
Yeah, she's still wearing her arm brace.
Oh,
she's still.
What happened to her arm? I don't even remember.
That was what happened. So. If they're injured, they're not in the draft pool, as far as I understand. They're just going to be free agents when they come back or show up wherever, and they won't explain it. That's just what they do. Do you want to move over to Dynamite? Or is there anything else you wanted to tackle?
Was there anything else from Raw?
That's like worth talking about.
No.
Cool. Dynamite tonight. So at midnight, Tony Khan released a tweet saying, live from Rochester, the home of Brodie Lee, we have a great show dedicated to his memory with a special card, including a huge TNT championship match, a title forever synonymous with his indelible legacy. There you go. So they're going to do some stuff for Brody, which is really cool. I'm very excited for that. Rochester was his hometown. Obviously, Brody has become this very just this mascot for AEW in the sweetest of way. I don't mean this in like a bad marketing term.
No.
It's just very clearly there's a lot of love there for him and his family and his legacy. So I think it's really cool that they're coming to his place where he was supposed to debut back in 2020. And they're going to do some stuff for him and his family, which I'm a big fan of. Yep. So the TNT title match, it's Miro versus Sammy Guevara.
So much potential.
There's a lot of potential. A lot of big guy, little guy.
Yep.
Orange Cassidy right now is atop the rankings in AEW. But he's got to take on Matt Hardy, I guess. Or no, it's Cassidy and Jack Evans for the hair. I'm only bringing this up because who's going to challenge Miro after Miro beats Sammy Guevara?
I think there's a small potential that Sammy wins. I wouldn't write it off entirely. Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
Small potential. Because like I said, I don't think Miro needs it anymore. You can, he'll survive without it, but
maybe this is the week when our friend Kip Sabian makes his return, takes the box off his head.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It seems like they won't even go near Miro with that, but
they might. They might just because he hasn't been around. Doesn't mean they won't do it.
No, no. But it's the underutilized crap. How does that fit into a Miro program?
Like, I think that may have just been a getting ready to come back thing. He hasn't brought that onto anything in AEW
televised,
programming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan saying he doesn't want to see Jack Evans bald. Too bad.
I do.
You're gonna see it.
Do it.
And you're gonna like it. If Sammy wins, I guess the next person is Powerhouse Hobbs, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Just looking at the rankings again, Hobbs may have taken a loss to CM Punk, but that doesn't mean he can't come back and have a fire match with Sammy.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot really of potential. Cool. Good match ahead. Speaking of good matches ahead, boy. Adam Cole, baby, takes on Jungle Boy in a match where, let's face it, Jungle Boy has been very well protected, and it's Adam Cole, baby's second match in AEW. What do you do? Second singles match. What do you do? How do you get into this? How do you get out of it? You can't DQ. They're not going to DQ it. Keep saying, and they don't do it. Can't time limit draw it because we just did that last week.
Yep.
Does Jungle Boy finally lose a match?
Yeah, I think so.
Oof. Now, there's a concept that my pal Steven Jensen over at Fightful in the Weekender, and also Steven and I do a watch along every Thursday at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, usually like old WCW. He has a concept that he's been talking about on his podcast that Adam Cole is blissfully unaware that the Elite are actually heels because they just brought him back from the dead. For all intents and purposes, Adam Cole does not know about the last 4 years of like wrestling sphere.
Okay.
And the idea is that, so think about it, on Rampage, he came out to his own music, got a huge pop. They continue to like get those moments over. I don't know how honest it is, how truthful it is, but you look at BTE and they keep saying Adam Cole is being fed all this stuff. Like Cody didn't create AEW, the Bucks and Kenny did. Completely them, no one else. And he's good with it. He wants to go hang out with his buddy Hangman. Maybe don't do that just yet. They're kind of building this weird, Adam Cole is just ignorant
to everything. I don't know. It's a pretty broad meta narrative that I don't know that that's really a factor. Like I said, in this case, just have them do strong shit, right? Like have them have such a damn good match that Jungle Boy is still going to be coming out of the end being beloved and strong. So
I don't think you have anything to worry about there.
No.
Like I think those two will absolutely
this is gonna be such a guaranteed banger that like, you know, neither whoever wins, loses, doesn't matter. Like it's not gonna be a big deal for either of them in terms of career. So
I would open up with this match, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good way to start the show. What else do we have? We've got Dante Martin and Matt Sydal are going to team up again to take on Cody Rhodes and Lee Johnson.
Why?
Because 20 minutes for commentary to put over the new Rhodes to the Top show.
Oh, Jesus.
They have a hash flag, Tim. Have you seen it?
No, I couldn't because this stupid emoji didn't show up.
The hash flag is exactly what you think it is.
What is a weed flag? I don't.
It's the tattoo.
It didn't load on my computer, and I don't understand how that even happens. Like,
it's just the neck tattoo.
Whatever. Stupid. Why? Quick transition out of the Aleister Black stuff, I guess.
Oh, no. It's not over yet. Trust me with those three.
Well, why is this match happening? It makes no sense to me.
Because Cody is still part of the Codyverse. The Codyverse just happens to involve the Nightmare Factory. And that includes Lee Johnson.
Yeah, just go full Homelander.
Cody's already a heel. Cody is already a heel. They just don't want to talk about it.
Well, and that's the thing. He can't be a Nazi on TV because he's got a stupid reality show. So I don't know. Well, I don't know. Comes out looking like one. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, well, there goes my chance to ever go to a show as part of the media. Thank you for that. Oh, man. By the way, per Andrew Zarian from the Mad Men podcast, Bryan Danielson versus Nick Jackson on Rampage.
Cool.
That's going to be Killer. Mm-hmm. That's going to open up Rampage, by the way. That's what they always do. Unless there's suddenly like a match bigger than that that they announced for some reason. Danielson and Jackson. Rampage. Opener. That's the match. Killer. Finally, Penelope Ford and the Bunny are going to take on Tainara Conchi and Anna Jay. Mm-hmm. Tay Jay's back. Big fan of that.
Yep.
Now it's time to bring the Dark Order out. Talking about this big Brody Lee night. Mm. We got to get the Dark Order right. Mm. We got to get their shit together.
Yeah, they'll probably resolve their differences. There'll be a little video package.
What do we do? Who do we bring out? Who sets them straight? Don't say Bray Wyatt, because I can tell you now it's not
Bray
Wyatt.
I wasn't going to.
I'm just telling the audience at home.
I really don't want that to happen. That would
drop a comment in this video. Drop a comment. Tell us who you think it is. Do not say Bray Wyatt. Or say Bray Wyatt. I don't care. Just drop a comment. The engagement is helpful. Yeah. Let us know what you think. But yes, we got to do something with Dark Order. Who's going to set them straight? Is it Adam? Is it Adam Page?
Hangman.
You think it's Hangman? They didn't do it last week.
I don't know where he is, and I'm concerned because I really think they might have just bungled this. They might have bungled the Hangman story on the way because they just pulled in all of these already big people, right? And I'm concerned now because it's been a while, and I don't see it really recovering properly.
I mean, Full Gear is like 2 months from now.
Yeah,
they could fix it. It's Repo Man. I agree. It's Repo Man.
Who the hell is Repo Man?
From the WWF. Repo he used man. To repossess everybody's stuff.
That's rude.
It's the Repo Man. But if you can't pay your bills, the Repo Man will take your stuff. Maybe it's time for Dark Order to pay up. Maybe Colt Cabana didn't put his last payment down on his car.
There he goes. Oh, yeah. I've seen this. I've seen this guy. Look at this Repo fool. Man. He's got a big hook. It's great.
Oh, you know who else has a big hook?
Hook?
That's right. He better be on the show tonight. But yeah, you got to do something with Dark Order. Could it be Adam Page? Sure. He's got to kind of set that story right before he moves on to Kenny Omega again.
But we got to find a way to get him there. It doesn't even like he's not, you know, they're not allowed. So we got to fix that.
Well, this is the crossover segment. I think this is the 9 o'clock Penelope and the Bunny versus TJ. I think so. We'll find out tonight. That's it. That's all that's been announced for Dynamite for tonight. Again, if you're here, drop us a thumbs up. If you're in the chat, thank you. Welcome. Hope you hang out with us again. We're back Sunday, noon Eastern, live on youtube.com/TimAndJoelPod. Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Yeah, Tim Stone, TimStonep on Twitter and Instagram.
There you go. Go find Tim. He's got his thirst traps ready for you.
Not yet. Working on it.
All right. Very sexy man, that Tim. I am at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, enjoy your day. Enjoy your night. We'll see you next time. Good night.